You like to argue?
A lot of Christians do. Here, I don't see that very much. I don't like to, but I'm very good at it. I've talked to people and I say, we'll talk about, like, can you lose your salvation? I'll say, well, pick a side. I'll take the other one that you don't take, and I'll win the argument. I know all the verses, and I really do. You say, boy, that sounds arrogant. I'm sorry. We've gone round and round and round about this. I know your side of the argument better than you know it, no matter what side you're on. You're saying, boy, that is arrogant. Okay, maybe a little bit, but it's also true. And I'm very good at arguing, but I don't like to. And in these days in my life, it doesn't really work like I'd like it to. When I come in the power of facts, and this is what you need to know, people don't, they don't like that. They don't like to be shown up. They don't like their silly arguments to be shown as silly. And I can try to do it as a gentleman, but it's me versus you, and it doesn't further the gospel. And this is about an argument here in the rest of this chapter. And when I've studied in the past, I thought, okay, the gloves are off now, and both sides are throwing haymakers. And I've revisited, and I thought, not at all. We have a group of religious people losing their minds, and Jesus, I think he's as cool as the other side of the pillow. I think he's just answering and telling them what they need to know. And he's not, veins sticking out of his forehead and all, like, you bunch of rebels. I think he's just, they are throwing everything at him but the kitchen sink, and he's just holding forth truth. And I want you to read it like that. I want you to think of Jesus as just unflappable, calm, collected, in charge of the situation, and these people freaking out, because I think that's what you'll find as we go forward. Let's read verse 12 of chapter 8. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Now, it's something we're very familiar with. We looked at John chapter 1, light has come into the world. We looked at chapter 3, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So we're very familiar, we're very comfortable with this idiom as Jesus being the light of the world. Now, he's setting himself up for chapter 9. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Or in other words, someone who never has seen the light of day. The most often repeated miracle of Jesus Christ is giving sight to the blind. There's a reason for that. He's the light of the world. And he says so. And if you follow him, you shall not walk in darkness, but you shall have the light of life. I know stuff. You know stuff that other people don't know. Why? You're the smartest guy in every room, or you Miss Brilliant, you Sally Smart? No. God illumines our way. It's got nothing to do with intellect. I have met some people who are very, very simple, and I don't mean that in a, if I called you a simpleton, you'd be very upset with me, and rightfully so. Some people are very, very bright, and some people less so. And I know some people who are very uncluttered by vast amounts of knowledge and have a very intimate walk with Jesus Christ. And I know some people who are world-class brilliant who have a very intimate walk with Jesus Christ. It's got nothing to do with intellect. It really doesn't. I think I'd rather be more clever than less clever. Most of us would. But that's not the, I don't know about that newfangled fashion, new fashion stuff. You can be very simple. I don't know. I don't mean that as a bad thing. You know what I'm saying? I got to be careful who I look at, because you're calling me a simpleton. No one here. No one here. You're very bright. Why? Because you're here. Okay, that shows some wisdom. I mean that. You don't walk in darkness. I see people walking in darkness, they're clueless. Why? They don't have the light of life. That's all. And when they get Jesus Christ in their life, they start to walk in the light. And Jesus says so. The Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bear record of yourself. Your record is not true." In the law, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, may every word be established. And we already found out in chapter 5, Jesus has several witnesses. This is old ground, right? In chapter 5, verse 31, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. But there is another that bear witness of me." And he's talking about John. He's talking about the word, the works, and the Father. How many witnesses do you want? I'm just stacking them up now. The reason in the mouth of two or three witnesses may every word be established is because people are evil. No, that's the reason. If you don't like your neighbor, well, you say, and back in this day, you say, "Yeah, I heard him blaspheme." They drag him off and stone him. "Yeah, I got no problem with my neighbors anymore." But if you had somebody who had to agree with you, it's not that the system can't be abused, but now it's less likely, right? If you saw a murder, you saw somebody pull the trigger, the smoking gun, the actual murder, and you said you saw it, in this day, it's not enough to convict somebody. It didn't mean it didn't happen. It doesn't mean you're a liar. It just means that we need more evidence. We need, that's how it worked. Jesus said, "Though I bear record of myself," it doesn't mean that what you're saying isn't true. Here Jesus calls him on, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. You know why? For I know whence I came, and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come, whither I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man." Now that's problematic, because you already said, Adam, that he is the judge of the whole world. And he said that back in chapter 5, verse 22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." So the judge of the whole earth is Jesus Christ. And here he's saying, "You judge after the flesh, but I judge no man." What do you mean, judge no man? You can judge everybody. Everybody who's ever been will stand before Jesus Christ, the great white throne judgment, and he's going to be the judge, the only judge. What do you mean you judge no man? "I condemn no man now. That's not what I came for." Do you remember back verse 10? "Woman, where are your accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" "No man, Lord." Neither do I condemn thee. One, he didn't see it happen. Two, I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to save. This is the mission of Jesus Christ. I'm the Savior of the world. I'm not the judge of the world. I will be, but not here, not now. That's for later on. Okay, so when he's saying, you know, you're judging after the flesh, but I judge no man, and he already gave them that lesson. Verse 24 of chapter 7, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgments." This is kind of like he's going over the same things over and over, repeating it. Have I ever repeated myself? I don't know if that's ever happened here. Maybe it's happened once. But Jesus does that, and that's fine because, one, we forget. And, two, we didn't learn it the first time perfectly. And three, there's new people who hasn't had this yet. I mean, you know, you have to repeat yourself. When you have children, did you ever repeat yourself when you were no, you never did, right? They got it the first time, I'm sure. But there in here in chapter 6, or chapter 5, chapter 6, I don't know where I just had it. Oh, yeah, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." That's chapter 6, verse 24. He's saying that again because they said, "You're unrighteous, and we're righteous." And they got that exactly backwards. And he's saying, don't judge according to appearance, but judge righteously. And he's going after this and after this and after this because they're judging, they're making an assessment about him. That's incorrect and damnable. They're going to hell because they have judged Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, as a heretic and a liar and not Jesus, not the Christ. Back to chapter 8. You judge out of the flesh. I judge no man. But if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father, but I and the Father that sent me. So there's the two witnesses, and I can judge. It is also written in the Old, a testimony of two men is true. This is what we referred to earlier. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bear witness of me. What do you mean? Where do you think these miracles are coming from? You raise the dead. That guy's either the Christ or the best what? Deceiver that's ever been in the history of the world. No, Jesus Christ isn't the best deceiver that's ever been in the history of the world. He's the Messiah. He's God incarnate. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Okay, now they're getting close. They're inferring his illegitimacy. Later on they'll say it, okay? But here they're kind of, this is the haymaker they've been trying to land right along. They're going to discredit him. They're going to just, we don't even know who your Father is. Where is your Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Can you know God without knowing Jesus Christ? No, Jesus just said so. I know people say, you know, we're talking about spiritual things, so I believe in God. I'm generally, listen to me. I'm generally talking to somebody who's going to hell. It's true. Well, I believe in God. That's your defense. Devils believe. They tremble. They got enough sense to tremble. You haven't even passed demon kindergarten and you're offering this up as I'm going to heaven. You're probably dealing with somebody who's going to hell. If they don't mention the name Jesus Christ, you know what I'm talking about. In those arguments that I'm telling you not to have, and if you do have them, keep your cool. You know, just say what needs to be said in love. Speak the truth in love like Jesus is. And he's saying, you don't know me. You don't know my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. It's a package deal. You can't know one without the other. Remember that, where is your Father? Let's look at Psalm 69. We've been here before. Again, we're talking about his supposed illegitimacy. Look at verse 7 of Psalm 69. Or look at verse 4. They hate me without a cause. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Is that what's going on right now? Yeah. Is that true of Jesus Christ? This whole psalm is true of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. Is that a messianic prophecy? Yes, it is. Look at verse 8. I became a stranger unto my brethren, an alien unto my mother's children. They didn't even believe in him. Remember, we saw that when he's going up to the feast. His brothers hadn't yet believed in him. Verse 9. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Is that a messianic prophecy? Yes, it is. A lot of prophecy in the Psalms. Wonderful. Then verse 12, they that sit at the gate speak against me. I was a song of the drunkards. They made up little ditties, the drunks. I never seen a drunk sing Sweet Adeline. I know they do in the comic strips and stuff, but in real life I've never seen it. And when I was drunk, I never thought about singing Sweet Adeline. I'm not even sure I know what the song is all the way through, right? But they made up little ditties about Jesus' supposed illegitimacy. Where is your Father? Understand what they're saying. And he's very calm. Now listen, by the power of Jesus Christ, those people would be dust in front of me. They would be on fire and they would be dead, dead, dead. Because they're not, if your history is illegitimacy, it's not really a reflection on you. It's a reflection on parents who got things out of order, and that's that. That doesn't make you a bad guy or an evil woman or anything like that. But they just made a slur on his mom. And I'm thinking, Mother's Day or Father's Day, you don't be sitting there talking about a guy's mom. Then it's go time, fists are flying. He's God. He could win, okay? He could make their lives miserable for a split second, and then they're all done. No, he very calmly, you don't know me. You don't know my father. If you knew me, you should have also known my father. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as they taught in the temple. No man laid hands on him, for his hour is not yet come. Don't think they didn't want to. They'd already sent officers to arrest him, remember? No man spake like this man. Then said Jesus, but he's not going until it's his time. We'll see that at the end of the chapter. Then said Jesus again to them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. I'm going away. Where are you going? Heaven. Where I go, you can't go to heaven, is what he's saying. Okay? Why? Because they don't believe in him. And he'll say that in so many words. Then said the Jews, will they kill him because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come? What a silly idea. People say silly things about Jesus. What, did he look really super depressed? He'd been depressed for a long time? Jesus never depressed. That's just any port in a storm? They're trying to discredit him. First he's illegitimate, now he's suicidal. When people argue against Jesus Christ, they're going to reach for some real... Because that's how it is. That's how it goes. He said to them, you're from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Notice I read... I avoided the he. If you believe not that I am he, says my King James, you shall die in your sins. He is in italics. It was added for clarity. Get rid of it. It doesn't clear up anything. Unless you believe I am. What's that? I am. That's the voice of the burning bush. He told Moses, I am that I am. Tell them I am sent you. Jesus is claiming to be the voice of the burning bush. Again, I get tired of all these people running around the landscape. Jesus never said that he was divine. Paul put that on him later on in Paul's epistles, and Peter, pig piled on, and John, and they made him something that he never claimed to be. Yeah, you can look. People are ridiculous. Okay, that's just another unbeliever like these Pharisees, but they're posing as a pastor or a theologian saying ridiculous things. Jesus here says, I am God. If you don't believe that I am, you don't believe in my divinity, there's no hope for your salvation. I'm going to heaven. You're not going. And the basis for you not going is you don't know me, you don't know my Father, and you don't know that I am divine. I am divinity in the flesh. I am God the Son. And the only, our sin is so bad. The only one that can forgive it is God. And the only one who could pay for it is God. It's not just another man, a prophet, a good teacher, giving us good examples. And if we get enough good examples like Jesus Christ and we follow him, we'll make it. That's ridiculous. And by the way, while on the subject, it's heresy. Oh yeah, he's a good teacher. But we don't follow his teaching and go to heaven. We come to the cross, kneeling down, we pray, Lord, forgive us, wash us in your blood, and make us a new creation. That's the methodology. We believe that he was sent from God, that he is God the Son. And that's the methodology. Oh, no, I don't believe that Jesus is divine. Well, I hope you get asbestos soup before you go where you're going. It's not going to be pleasant. He's saying that. Unless you believe that I am Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, Yahweh, God, the God of the Old Testament, creator. You have to believe that I am, or no hope. And he's saying so. Then said they unto him, who are you? And read here, who do you think you are? Because that's what they're saying. And Jesus said to them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. He hasn't changed his message. He started in John chapter 1. All the time saying, you know, you dishonor me and you think you're honoring God. He says, I'm the judge of the whole world. He's saying all these things, all the way. John chapter 3, he sent Nicodemus to him. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I'll draw all men unto myself. You got to be born again. You got to see the kingdom of God. He's not, you know what? I think now it's getting late. I've only got about another 6 months. I think I'll start claiming divinity. No, he started on day one. If people say, okay, Adam, we get it. He's divine. No, let up. I can't. I'm just teaching next verse and next verse. And these are the verses that talk about his divinity. It's over and over and over. The whole book is about the deity, the divinity, the godhood of Jesus Christ. I've been telling you right along, and I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. They didn't get it. Then said Jesus unto them, in light of the fact that they didn't understand that he spoke of the Father, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. When I am lifted up, now, people say exalted on high, lifted up. No. When I'm lifted up on the cross, again, back to the idiom of John chapter 3, even as Moses lifted up the serpent on the brass serpent on the pole, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, crucified, right? When the Son of Man is crucified, you'll know that I am. Is this a prophecy? Yes. Did it come true? Yes. Well, how come all Jews don't believe in him? Ah, there's the problem. There's the rub. Men love darkness rather than light. I'll prove that to you before we get through here today. I mean, I'll show you it in Scripture where it proves it. That's up to you and your ability to believe, but it certainly says it. When you have crucified the Son of Man, you shall know that I am divine. I am. You shall know about my divinity. Really? Yeah. Yeah. Those hours of darkness, there's no such thing as hours of darkness in a day. We just had an eclipse. How long did that last? Right? There's totality for a minute. I don't know. Then it's light again. How do you propose that happen? What about the earthquake? What a coincidence. How about the temple veil being torn in two from top to bottom? There wasn't a priest who was ministering who didn't get that message. What is the veil of the temple? It's what separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could go in there, only once a year, with the blood of the goat, remember? What happened when the temple ripped in two? Well, I'll tell you what happened. In reality, God grabbed the temple veil in his mighty hands, God the Father, and ripped it. What an awful noise that must have made. And he's saying, the way into my presence was just made available. That wasn't a priest who missed that. Jesus isn't divine. Now, the Roman soldier, he saw all these things and said, surely this is the Son of God. Now, a pagan Roman got it. You don't think the religious establishment got it? But they have to start walking us back furiously. They have to say, man, did we mess up? Or they have to double down. What do? They double down. Not everybody. Joseph of Arimathea. We already know that Nicodemus is on board. I think in this crowd here, and I can't prove this, but you can't prove me wrong, there's a young man named Saul of Tarsus. When I'm lifted up, you'll know. You'll know that I'm divine. And I do nothing of myself. Everything I'm saying because God told me to say it. Everything I'm doing because God told me to do it. I'm the very express image of God. I'm exactly what you need to know about God. He says it time and time again. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Is Jesus losing his mind? No. Are they? Oh, yeah. He spake these words, many believed on him. So now we have a divided crowd. They've been here. They saw the woman caught in adultery. They saw his graciousness. They saw how he's been ministering all week long. So he spake these words, many believed on him. Now we have a divided crowd. Now he says to those who believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Most misquoted verse in the whole Bible, as far as I'm concerned. It's on public buildings. The truth will set you free. That's not what he said. If you continue in my word, what does that mean? If you're Bible people and you continue in the word, you say, well, yeah, but the word is also, Jesus says, you know, in the beginning the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is also the world. Word. Oh, okay. If you continue in my word, I'll take that. If you are the real deal, you'll stick around. You'll be in the word of God, both Jesus and the Bible. Then you're really my disciples. And if that's true, you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. I unapologetically, Jesus will change your life. Not just your eternity. Praise God. Praise God. If that's all he ever did, I'd think, fair enough. Thank you. Hell's nasty. I'm not going. You are awesome. You are just, I just so appreciate it. Forever. That's, no. I love you, he said. In that ridiculous condition you were in, I loved you. But I love you too much. I'm not going to let you stay there. I'm going to redeem you. I'm the good shepherd. I'm going to lead you to pastures and living water, and I'm going to fill your life with joy and great good things. I love that about him. I hope you do too. I hope you appreciate that about him. And bondage? My children don't walk in bondage. I'm mighty. I'm mighty to save. What are you? Listen, it's the cure tour. For a reason. You don't need 12 steps. You need one. Jesus, save me. Oh, you're on your way. You're on your way. Now, there may be some. Okay. Maybe you ask Jesus to come into your heart. Maybe you still vape or smoke or have some other issue in your life. Maybe there's depression. Maybe there's anxiety. Maybe there's, I'm here to tell you, he'll deliver you. And an inch you give to the devil, he'll take it. He'll take anything, but he's a defeated foe, and he'll lie to you like you're under this. No. So I had this, we were teaching on the book of Judges, the conquest of the promised land. And I was talking about the promises are indicative of the promises that God has given to us. And he didn't mean for us to live in fear or bondage or lust or any kind of, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. And I admit to you, I was discouraged. Am I now? Not at all. Why? Because I set my heart to the Lord. This is one of the things that I've been teaching about, that I've been telling others. I can't stand here discouraged all the time with my face all in the mud talking about how wonderful you are when I don't feel that you're very wonderful at all. He said, well, I can fix that. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Listen, I'll lift my hands up to the Lord. I want to reach out and touch him, but I want everyone else to know. Listen, no chains. I know the answer. You know how, you know, when you're a kid, you'll raise your hand in school. I know the answer. He set me free. There's no chains. There's no private sin in my life, okay, that you have to know about that's going to disqualify me from being able to teach you. There's nothing. Wow, Adam, that's a boast. Yes, it is. I'm bragging up the awesomeness of my Savior. He's glorious. He can deliver you from everything. There's no place that you can go that he can't say, I can't fix that. This verse says that. If you continue in my word, you're really my disciple. You're the real deal. And now let me tell you something. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's seed. We never in bondage to any man. How sayest, you shall be made free. Verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's seed. I know that. But you seek to kill me. I can deliver you from that, he's saying. The truth will deliver you from that. Because you know why you seek to kill me? Because my word hath no place in you. Don't you think people would want to be made free? What we're offering, total freedom in Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a slave to any. Don't you think everyone would buy that? Don't you think everyone would want that? Here, total freedom. Yes! Yes! Sign me up. I totally want this. You know what most people say? I've been doing this a while. You know what most people say? I'm good. I'm good. What? Now what they're saying, listen up. What they're saying, I prefer sin. I've seen it. Okay, we had a funeral here that I didn't conduct. Paul Sterling's son-in-law conducted the funeral, and the man had died of an overdose, and Arise had all come down, and he had a lot of friends. This place was not packed, but it was a good turnout. And many of them were relatives or friends or was aware of his life, and many of them were in that lifestyle. I can almost tell who was and who wasn't. It was pretty full, but the first three or four rows didn't have a soul in them. Everyone kept wanting to sit in the back, and they kept making more back. They moved the chairs so they're going to be further and further and further away. Hey, freedom. And Paul shared it. Paul shared it. How many recipients? Well, I hear what you're peddling here. I get it. I understand. I'm good. You're not. I don't know how to say it. I'm not argumentative here. I'm just trying to share the truth. You're not okay. Jesus, listen. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you're seeking to kill me. By the way, how free are they? They're under the bondage of Rome. They were born in bondage in Egypt. There's been a Babylonian captivity. There's been an Assyrian captivity that the northern tribes have never recovered from. And they're sitting there, we're free. Oh, that's awesome freedom. People tell me about freedom and they're a slave to sin. I'm free to sin as much as I want. That's awesome. Not so awesome, is it? I'm giving you true freedom. Jesus says, whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Free indeed. Awesome. Awesome. Hard to mess this up. Free indeed. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. You know, I just wanted the fire insurance at the beginning. I really did. I had no idea. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. You do that which you have seen with your Father. Are the gloves off now? No, he's still calm. He's still collected. He's still as cool as a glacial mint. He is not agitated. They are losing their minds. They answered and they said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't act like you guys are acting. You say you're children of Abraham. Well, I don't see it. You do the deeds of your father, he says. Again, I thought this was a haymaker. And I read it and I say, no, is this just love? Is it tough love? I kind of hate that term. It's just love. Sometimes love has to go where the person is, and sometimes it has to be a little unpleasant. If you're in, like, sin, I get a friend who's in adultery, let's say, hypothetically. I don't, not that I know of. I get a friend in sin and stuff, and I go to him and I have this talk. It won't be pleasant for him. It won't be pleasant for me. But I'm just going to ignore it, and that's loving me. That's not loving him. But I go to him and I discuss it with him and I talk to him. Is that tough love? It's just love. I have to say the things that need to be said. You're messing up, dude. Think about what you're doing. Think about your testimony. Think about your wife. Think about your children. Is that tough love? It's just love. Now, he's just loving, and he's saying, you're doing the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. We are not born of fornication. They just called him a bastard. I'm sorry, but that's just what they did. We're not born of fornication like you. They're losing it, and they're losing the argument too. Now, you know, so you're telling people about Jesus, and now the personal attacks come. This takes all the wheels off the cart now. Now Jesus, I can't even minister anymore. Yeah, you caught me. Right? No. But that's what they were hoping would happen. They're pulling all the stops. We have one Father, even God. Jesus calmly said unto them, okay, editor's note, calmly, I inserted that. If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now, he's saying this right along. You don't understand my speech. You know why? You can't even hear my word. You know why? Because you are of your father, the devil. Yeah, that's really harsh. Again, tough love, just love. Does everyone receive the message? I don't think many did. I like to think one guy did. He'd visit him later on the road to Damascus. Maybe. You're of your father, the devil. Lust of your father, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. There's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. It's the middle of a statement, but I want to get off here just for a second before I forget it. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. You're tempted. Well, Jesus was tempted. It's not a shame to be tempted. You're tempted. You've been lied to. He only lies. He only lies. That's his native tongue. And when we give way to temptation, we're investing our lives, at least a little chunk of it, somewhat, in something that's not true. That's been very helpful to me. That's been very helpful to me. Because I'm just like everybody else. The way Satan does is he gives us this. It's, oh, you want this. Oh, wait till you get this. This is what you've been wanting all along. It's so good. You will, and you're lying. You're a liar. You are lying. No. I'm a man of God. Such a one as me, believe anything. So when temptation comes, is that me? Is that my flesh? Is that the devil? It's certainly not the Holy Spirit of God leading me into sin, right? I don't care which one it is. I'm not having it. It's a lie. It's not true. It's not going to advance my cause. It's not going to make me holier. It's not going to bring me more closer to Jesus Christ. It's not going to help my testimony. It's not going to help my relationships. It's not going to help my marriage. It's not going to help my finances. There's nothing beneficial to believing in sin. He's a liar. It's all he's got. Hey, if you eat of the fruit, you're going to be just like God. Not quite. Somewhat less, right? They weren't even like men, like women after the fall. They were fallen men and fallen women because they bought into a lie from a really good liar. Give Satan his props. He really knows how to lie. You're your father, the devil. Okay. And you listen to all the lies, so you're not going to believe me when I tell you the truth, verse 45. Verse 46, which of you convicteth me of sin? And I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Hey, you have to know this. The hour's late. I ain't going to be around very much longer. You guys are going to hell. You have to listen to me. I'm the only way, I'm the only remedy for your demise, which is eternal separation from God and damnation. Why won't you listen to me? Why won't you believe me? I haven't lied to you. You can't even convict me of sin. You can't even find out any fault in my life. Now say that to your enemies and see if they don't come back with many examples of your sin. I don't offer that one to my enemies. They'll shove it right down my throat, right? Jesus can. Why? Because he's sinless. And everyone knows it. They answered the Jews and said to him, say we not, well, thou art a Samaritan, hast the devil? Oh, my goodness. The wheels are coming off the cart. They're losing their mind, and they have lost the argument. Okay? They try to discredit him. That's way gone. And they're only discrediting themselves now. And now the dispersions, now the, oh, you're a Samaritan, you have a devil, you're going to kill yourself, oh, your parentage isn't pristine, you have illegitimacy in your, it's all they got. They don't get the goods on Jesus. Anyone who comes against Jesus now, when you're debating them, talking with them, discussing them, hopefully loving them very well, what do they got on Jesus? Nothing. 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 Ever. Nothing. You know what I don't like about Jesus? And now they're going to tell you, and you're going to say, I never thought of that. They got nothing, and you know they have nothing, and they have stuff on you, and now there's name calling, and now there's this, and now there's that. I'm not going to dignify that with an answer. Let me just say it for the record. I am not a devil. He doesn't say I'm not a Samaritan. I'm not playing your silly games. I am not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory, but there is one that seeketh and judgeth. You guys are in such peril. Don't you see it? You see what Jesus is saying? There's one who seeks. You don't want to. You want to dishonor me, and God's honoring me. You and him are at cross purposes. One of you is going to lose this debate eternally. There is one that seeketh in judgment. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I can't get any more sincere than this. Verily, verily, I say to you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Amen. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he's the only way. I don't doubt him. I don't cast aspersions on his character. I have trusted in him. You have trusted in him. A whole eternity is wrapped up in what he's done on the cross. The blood of Jesus covers us for all our sins. We keep his saying, are we ever going to see death? No. 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 Amen? No. No. Ask Lazarus. Ask Martha, ask Mary, ask the many who are in his presence right now. There's a whole group of people who are going to see death. These people who are discussing this with him this day, it's not going to go well with them unless they repent. And this is why, listen, when people want to debate, and I don't, I think like, okay, whatever, you know. I'm done. I don't say that because I don't, maybe later on, right, I'll have opportunity to, but that's what I think. When people ask me a question, I'll answer a question. And people really have legitimate questions, and I want to legitimately answer them. Oh, you just want to fight, you just want to act all zany. I ain't got time for you and your foolishness. And I don't. Jesus does. He's way greater lover of mankind than I am. He's dealing with them and saying the things that need to be said. It's hours late. You guys have got to repent. This isn't going to change his eternity. This ain't going to change his destiny. He's still headed for the cross. He'd like to redeem more than less. He's not willing that any should perish. Even nasty old Pharisees who want to kill him, he loves. And he's dealing with them. If you don't see that, I think you're missing the whole chapter. He's dealing with them in love, graciously. You're of your father, the devil. I want you to understand this. You're not on neutral ground. You're not okay. You think you believe in God, you have to believe in me. You can't separate me and God, Jesus said, and he says many such things. It's love, 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 and love. Me, I wish I had more love. I'm working on it. The Holy Spirit's working on that in my life, to be sure. If a man keep my saying, he shall not see death. Then said the Jews to him, now we know you have a devil. Abraham's dead and the prophets, and thou say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Legitimate argument? No. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. You're dishonoring me. You're not doing the works of Abraham. You're not doing the works of God. Both of them. Let me tell you about Abraham. Ye have not known me, but I know. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and I keep his saying. Speaking of God. Now he picks up Abraham. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? For the record, he's about 33 years old. We're told that he was about 30 years old when he entered public ministry. And this is 6 months from the cross. Okay, he's 33-ish. He might be 32. He's relatively a young man. What's the 50 years? That just round? You're not even 50. Yeah, what are you talking about, you know? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Yod he, vav he, I am that I am. Did they miss it? Not at all. They took up stones to cast at him. You say, well, Adam, I see that, but I don't see, when did Abraham see Jesus' day? Well, here. From heaven, Abraham would see that because, one, Abraham's alive. God's not the God of the dead but of the living, right? Two, in the day of Abraham, he's at a place called Mamre. And Jesus Christ and two angels came and visited him. See, and it doesn't say that Jesus Christ, but infer it, imply it. I think Jesus is talking about that right here, among other places. Yeah. Abraham, yeah, oh yeah, we're tight. I had dinner with him. Abraham, I know Abraham. Oh yeah, by the way, chapter 12 of Genesis, when Abraham was called, that was me. Just in case you're wondering. Yeah, I showed up and we had dinner together. I think all of, there's a thing called a theophany. It's a theological term for an appearance of God in the Old Testament. There's also a thing called a Christophany. It's the appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. I think, you can't really super prove this, but in my thinking, all theophanies are Christophanies. Every appearance of God in the Old Testament is specifically Jesus Christ. Joshua walking around Jericho, probably praying, probably devising a battle plan. He runs into the captain of the Lord's host. And he challenges him like a sentry. Are you for us or are you for our enemies? Nay. Jesus always chooses. You always put him like A or B, and he always goes C on you every time, right? Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? He always takes another option. You can never get him just to say what you want him to say. But he's still like that too, by the way. Nay, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. Remove the shoe from off your foot. You're on holy ground. The voice of the burning bush. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Did Jesus call Moses? Yes. Did Jesus challenge Joshua and give him the plan for the conquest of Jericho that night? Yes. Did Jesus show up at Mamre with two angels that went on and judged Sodom and Gomorrah? Yes. He's all through the book. He didn't start. You know, we think of, you know, God is the God of the Old Testament. And we get the New Testament. Now Jesus is kind of like revealed. And we see him in a new and a clearer way. But remember, Jesus said, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. And he challenges them. And we've already read it a few, I don't know, 4 or 5 or 6 weeks ago. You search the scriptures, you think in them you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. The great discovery of my life, and I share with you, and this is why we continue in his word, Jesus Christ is on every single page, and it's so exciting when he shows up and he reveals himself to us and we see him again afresh in the Old Testament, like we saw him today in Psalm 69, among other places. Okay, they took up stones to cast at him. Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. If I was the director and I'm directing the movie, the whole scene, I don't know exactly what this looks like. Your guess is as good as mine. His hour had not yet come. He's not going to be stoned ever. He's going to the cross and when it's the right time. Time is such an important thing in the will of God in our lives. When does he want you to be holy? Oh, now. Now's the right time for that. But there's things in our life that he's going to bring about when it's his time to do it. I can't make him work any faster than he wants to work. I have been so frustrated many times in my life trying. Maybe you have too. He's going to do what he wants to do. But his timing doesn't suit us. But you should know, it's perfect. Okay? Like everything else about God, his timing is perfect. Here, they're going to stone him. Before Abraham was, I am. They got it. Oh, they got it. We might miss it, right? We might miss it. They didn't miss it. They're picking up stones. Why? Because he just blasphemed. And he did, if what he's saying isn't true. But he didn't because it is true. So there you have it. And then he goes away, and they're not able to stone him. Again, look at this chapter. See Jesus ministering in love and ministering in love, and patiently explaining, and sometimes using some harsh language. You of your father the devil is not wasn't meant to bless them. It was meant to shock them into truth, into the horror of their reality. Jesus loves us. We have some things to learn. I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking to a room full of people who have this a lot better than I do. I got room to grow in this. And Jesus is just, they're very unlovable. They're trying to kill him, and he loves them yet. What can I tell you?